Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Pei. You will notice at the beginning of the line a diamond, also noted as Aleph. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a Nosei, a topic heading, and Mivneh, a structural note, combined into one where you can see a diamond is featured, and the diamond has a shaded in tip. These are Arba Dugmois. We'll have, in the course of the Gemara, as you can see, the balance of this Daf, Daf Pei, Omid Aleph, and the top of Pei, Omid Beis, four Dugmois, four examples, Shel Tzibur, HaMechulok, Tmei Mutorim, V'chulei, where the Tzibur, the nation of Israel, on the 14th of Nisan, the time for offering the Korban Pesach, is divided. Some of them are Tamei, and some of them are Tohor. And in addition to that, we will see more markings. We'll see triangles that are used to keep track of the give and take, the hokel al ma'akav ha'masu maton, in order to keep track of the give and take. The triangle tip facing up represents a koshe, or a kushya, a difficulty, and the inverted triangle is a response. In addition to that, we have a house marking. This house marking represents two pitronos, le mikre shel mechza tameim u'mechza tahorim. The opening example of the Gemara will have a description of the people of Israel. The Jewish people are half, 50% tahor and 50% tameh. What is to be done? And the house marking, you can see Rav is featured as number one, and halfway down the page, Ula is featured as number two. So two solutions how you deal with a situation like that. Let us now open the Gemara. Itmar, Hoyu Yisrael Mechza Tohorim U'Mechza Tameim. The nation of Israel is 50% Tohor, and 50% of the people are Tamei. Now, we know from previous shiurim that where rove of the tzibur is tomei meis, where the majority of the public are tomei because of defilement to the dead, so the entire people do the Pesach in a state of tumah. If the minority of the people are in a state of tumas meis, so those people will wait till Pesach Sheni, the 14th of the next month, the month of Iyar, to do a makeup Korban Pesach. In this case, we have 50% are Torah and 50% are Tamei. How do we proceed? Omar Rav, Metamin Echod Mehem B'Sheretz. We impose defilement of Sheretz to one of the people. Now I've put the 50% over the top, where it's now more than 50%, Rov are Tamei. And since Rov are Tamei, since the majority of the people are now Tamei, because I was Metamin, someone with a dead Sheretz, now we have the majority of the people Tomei, and everyone does the Pesach in a state of Tumah. The Gemara asks, and notice the back and forth structure, V'amai, Nevdu Hani L'Chudayu, V'Hani L'Chudayu, why not have the people remain 50% Torah, 50% Tomei, and the Torah people will do it by themselves, and the Tomei people will do their Korban Pesach by themselves. Dehama Rav, Rav has been known to say, Halolu Oisin La'atzmon, V'Halolu Oisin La'atzmon. This we saw back on Ayin Tesom and Aleph, where if you have a situation of Mechza al Mechza, the people that are Torah do the Korban Pesach together in their maintaining their Tahara, and the people that are Tomei do it with their in their state of Tumah. So the Gemara answers, Amri, Hocha B'may Askinon. In the case here, before we were Metama, someone with a Sheretz, the case was, Kegon Shehoyu Tameyin Oidfin Al HaTorim Echod. In fact, there was already a majority of Tameim by one. The Gemara says, "Ihachi havu luhu ruba Tameim, nevdu kulhu betuma." Well, if that's the case, that there was already a rove, a majority of Tameim, albeit a hairline rove, namely of one person over the 50% mark, but is that not a case of Ruba Tameim, where the majority are Tameh? Why is it then that all of the Jewish people don't do their Korban Pesach in a state of Tumah? Why is there a need to do anything? Sovar law, so Rav, who said above, Mitamen Echo Mein Besheretz, he, Rav, holds like Reb Elozer ben Masya. The Omar, Reb Elozer ben Masya has a unique shita that says, Ein hayochid machria es hatzibor l'tuma. That a yochid is an individual, he doesn't weigh down on the tuma side to make a majority. True, there is an objective majority of one more person on the tuma side, but one more person is not enough to establish that this is now a tzibur of tameim. Ihochi. Well, if that's not good enough, hodar kushyon luduchte. The original question comes right back, so that you're telling me then it's not a rove sufficient enough to make it a Pesach Habo B'Tumah. So ne'evdu hani l'chudayu v'hani l'chudayu. Why not then split up, and those that are Tohor do it in a state of Tara on the 14th of Nisan, and those that are Tomei do it also in a state of Tumah on the 14th of Nisan. Why is there any need to intervene and to add a person and metamen besheretz? Elo hachi komar. So here we have a long answer marking, and the case is as follows. As Rashi says, it really is a case of mechtsa. Tumeim and Mechtsa Torim. It's a case of Mechtsa Mechtsa, an exact Mechtsa al Mechtsa. And this is the way we are to understand what Rav was trying to say originally. E Ika Tana, the Sovar Law, point one, Kitana Kama, Diomar Palgu Palgalo Avdi Kulhu Betuma. If there is someone like the Tanakhama that says, if you have 50-50, they don't all do it in a state of Tumah. And another point, the Sovar law, and if there is a Tana that also holds, point number two, Krebiuda Omar Ein Korban Sibur Choluk, that a public sacrifice cannot be done in a split fashion, where those that are Tor do it in their together, and those that are Tomei do it by themselves together with the Tameim. Well, if you hold both of these points, once again, you hold that a 50-50 is not considered something they can all do betuma, and you also hold ein korban sibur choluk, then the solution will be metamen echod mehem besheretz. You'll have to metame one of the people, one of the Torah people, with betuma sheretz, to make them now rove tameim, and everyone will do it in a state of tuma. Ula Omar. V'ula Omar, Mishalchin Echod Mehem L'derech Rechoika. Ula is also concerned with the issue of Mechsa Torah, Mechsa Temeim. In order to create a majority of Temeim, you know what we do? We send one of the Torah people away. We send them a derech rechoka, and there is a rule that if someone is not in the immediate vicinity of Yerushalayim on the 14th of Nisan, if he's more than a day's journey away from Yerushalayim on Nisan, on the 14th of Nisan, he does not do the Korban Pesach. He's not obligated to do the Korban Pesach that day. Therefore, rove of the people in a case like that are Temeim, where one of the Tahurim, one of the 50% that were Tahurim, we send him away. Question. V'tamenu b'sheretz, why not do like Rav said above, Tama, one of the Torah people, b'tumas sheretz? So the answer to that is why that's not going to work. Kosovar, shoichtin v'zorkin al tomei sheretz. By making someone a tomei sheretz, you don't really create a rove of Temeim, because someone who is Tomei Sheretz, according to this opinion, he becomes Tohor at night, and therefore, it's a one-day Tumah. Therefore, since he's going to become Tohor at night, we will process his Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan for him. And he's therefore not considered as a real Tomei individual as far as establishing Rov Tzibur Tameim. Question, V'yitamenu b'meis, why not expose him to Tumas Meis? Why do you send him away? The Gemara answers, Madcheu atomei chagigosu. If you are metamehim b'tumas meis, he won't be able, Tumas Meis being a 7-day Tumah period, he won't be able to do his Korban Chagiga. The Korban Chagiga is a shlomim sacrifice that a person brings in the course of the holiday. Well, Hashtonami Madcheu atomei pischo. If you are going to send him b'derech rechoka, are you not pushing him away? You're pushing him away from doing the Korban Pesach? In other words, if you're so concerned with preventing someone from doing a Korban, well, by sending him a Derech Rechoka, you're preventing him from doing the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara answers, Efshur David Ovid Visheni. He has a makeup. He has a makeup time for his Pesach, Korban Pesach. Well, question, the Meis Nami, Efshur Ovid B'Shvi'i Dehavi Leishmini Shelo. As far as the Korban Chagiga is concerned, that you are afraid that you're going to banish him, prevent him from doing the Korban Chagiga, that's not true. If we're metamehim, Tumas Meis, on the 14th of Nisan, so he becomes Tomei for 7 days, counting from the 14th of Nisan, his Tumah period ends the last day of Pesach. So on that last day of Pesach, he can do his Korban Chagiga, because one has a 7-day makeup period. He has the entire holiday is fit for bringing the Korban Chagiga. Let's read that in the words again. B'meis nami, even if we were to choose the Tumas Meis, that should not be a problem. Why not metamim instead of sending him away? Metamim on the 14th of Nisan, B'Tumas Meis, and it's a 7-day Tumah period, counting in an inclusive fashion. You're starting on the 14th. The Havilei Shmini Shelo. He can do his Korban Chagiga on the Shvi of Pesach, on the 7th day of Pesach, which is in fact the 8th day since he became Tohar, and he became Tomei. So at the 8th day of Pesach, he's already Tohar. Kosovar Ula. Why? What Ula answers, the reason that if he is made Tomei Meis, he will be banished, prevented from doing his Korban Chagiga, because Ula holds Kulu Tashlumin Derishon Ninu. The makeup days that we say that one has for bringing his Korban Chagiga are all makeup days based on his state on the first day of the holiday. As follows, the Chozi Berishon, Chozi Bekulu. If he was fit to have brought his Korban Chagiga on the first day of the holiday, and for some reason he didn't do it, so he has the additional days of the holiday to make it up. The Cholhecha Dolo Chozi Berishon. If, however, he was not fit on the first day of the holiday, for example, he was Tomei, so then Lo Chozi Bekulu. He is not fit, he's not able to bring it on any of the subsequent days. In other words, all of the days that we call the makeup days are makeup days for the first day. So if he was Tomei on the first day, and that's what would have happened had we been Metamehim on the 14th of Nisan, so by the second day, by the next day, he's still Tomei. So the subsequent days are not available for making up his bringing the Korban Chagiga when he could not have brought it on that first day of Pesach. So at this point we have explained Ula's position, why he said send one of the Torah people away to establish the Rov of Temeim. Omer Luhu Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says to those who were speaking and sharing Shitas Ula, he says, Zilu vi Omru Leila Ula, go tell Ula Man sayes the okar sichei umashkinei veroyin. Who is basically who's going to listen to your idea? Ula's idea was you find one of the Torah people and send them away. What that basically means is he's got to okar is uproot the pegs of his tent and his dwelling umashkinei and run away. It's a figure of speech or we call it an illustrative expression for objecting to Ula's approach, not based on a halachic consideration, but simply on a practical level. Who's going to be sent away? Who's going to be sent on a trip to leave his house? It involves a lot of trouble. Therefore, Rav's suggestion is better, to metame one of the people, betumas sheretz, thereby creating a situation of rov of the tzibur or tome, and if that's the case, so then they will be able to do the korban pesach together in a state of tuma. We continue in the Gemara with a second case, and we will see a double underlining used shortly to highlight the names Rav and at the end of the first wide line, Shmuel. Itmar, hoyu rubon zovin umiuton tmei mesim. The majority of the tzibur were tomei, but not tumas mes, rather tumas zav. Zav is an emission that comes forth from men, and not to be confused with what we are more familiar with, the keri emission. It's another kind of emission. It's called Zav, and the idea of a Korban Pesach being done when Rove of the Tzibur is Tomei, that applies to Tumas Mace. It doesn't apply to a case of Tumas Zav. So here you have the majority of the people are Tomei, Tumas Ziva, Umiuton, Tmei Mason. A minority of the Tzibur are Tomei, Tumas Mace. This is a situation that in which you can't have a Pesach Rishon done by these people. The idea of Tmeim, where Rov of the Tzibur is Tomei, as we said before, we're just repeating ourselves, of Rov of the Tzibur, majority of the Tzibur is Tomei, and they do the Pesach on time, on the 14th of Nisan, that's when the majority are Tomei Mace, not like over here. The question right now is, the minority that were Tomei Mesim, what is to be with them? And now Omar Rav makes a point, it lasts a number of lines, hence we have a long point marking. Omar Rav, Oysan Tomei Mesim, Einon Oysan, Lo Berishon, Velo Besheni. The Tomei Mes in this scenario will not do the Korban Pesach at all that year, not on the 14th of Nisan, nor on the makeup date, 14th of Iyar. And the Gemara explains, Rishon Lo Avdi, on the first Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, the Tmei Mesim minority will not do the Korban Pesach. Umi'uta lo avdi barishon. They represent a minority of people that are Tomei, and a minority of Tmeim do not do a Pesach Rishon. B'sheni nami lo avdi, they don't do a makeup Pesach Sheni either. Why? So there's a rule, and we've broken it down into two parts, Aleph and Beis. Kol hecha de avdi tzibur barishon, where you have the majority of the people doing a Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, avid yachid b'sheni. So an individual or a minority of Temeim will have available the Pesach Sheni for makeup. Kol hecha de lo avdi tzibur barishon, where the tzibur is not going to do a Pesach Rishon, where the majority of the tzibur were Tamei Zovin, so there was essentially no Pesach Rishon that year. Lo Avid Yochid B'Sheni, so there is no makeup time. A makeup Pesach is only when there was a Pesach being done on the Pesach Rishon. Here there was no Pesach Rishon. Omar Lehu Shmuel. Shmuel objects. He says Zilu Omru Lei LaAbo. Abo is the name of Rav. So they're one and the same. So Shmuel says, go tell Rav, what about the Pasuk? It says, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael sa Pesach b'muado. The Pasuk says, and the Jewish people do the Pesach on its appointed time, the 14th of Nisan. My Avdis Leih. What are you going to do with that Pesach? You are just now describing a situation where there's no Pesach Rishon. But the Pesach says that the Jews shall do the Korban Pesach on its appointed time, the 14th of Nisan. Omar Lahu, Rav responds, Zilu Imru Leih, go tell him, Shmuel, that is, go tell Shmuel, ki havu kuzov in my avdis leih, and let's say everyone were tamei tumaziva, what are you going to do with the pasuk? Elokevon de lo efshir, you have an impossible situation. Hachanami, so too in my situation, where the rov zoven and miut tamei mesim, lo efshir, it's not possible, there is no way out. The pasuk, therefore, is describing, we'll call it more a standard situation, but these unusual cases, in fact, the pasuk is not addressing. Notice we have a third diamond, and the shading has bottom tip shaded in. This is to draw your attention that we have here an opposite case of the Bayes case. Notice, Itmar, hoyu rubon tamei mesin umiuton zovim. Before we go further, though, we also have a topic heading accompanying this section. And on the side we've written, rubon tamei mesin umiuton zovim, davi pesach haba batuma. This is a situation where on Pesach Rishon, the Korban Pesach will be done by the tameim. And anyone that's tahor would also do it in a state of tuma, because you have rove of the tzibor that are tomei mace. However, the tomei zavim, being that it's what we call a tuma hayotzi migufo, it's a tuma that comes forth from one's body. It's not a tuma that's generated by an external force. So they don't do the Pesach Rishon. That is a given. Ha'im yesh tashlumin lazavim bePesach Sheni. Will the zavim, in this scenario, have a makeup date? Ha'im yesh tashlumin lePesach haba batuma? Is the concept of a Pesach Sheni applicable under circumstances where the first Pesach was done in a state of tuma? The Gemara. Itmar hoyu ruban tamei mesin umiutan zavim. And by the way, if you are very sensitive to our marking system, you notice the use of the dot underlining under the words Rubon and Miuton. This helps you to contrast this with case Bayes, where we also use the same marking. In the first case, it was Rubon Zovim. Here you see it was Rubon Tamei Mesim. And as opposed to the previous case, the Miut were Tamei Mesim, here the Miut are Zovim. Rav Huna Omar, Ein Tashlumin LePesach HaBobotuma. There is no makeup for a Pesach that initially on the 14th of Nisan had been brought be Tuma, and therefore the Zavim won't have any makeup time. Now, I know we've said it before, but it's just very important to clarify, make sure it's very clear that when we speak about a Pesach HaBo Batumo, that's when the majority of the people were Tomei Mace. That, in fact, was the case over here. However, even though it comes in a state of Tuma, that's fine, that's true when it comes to external generated Tumas, not the case of a Zav. So you have these Zavim that aren't going to be doing their Pesach Rishon because they don't. They're simply exempt from doing the Korban Pesach. They're Tomei. The Rov of the Tzibor did the Korban Pesach, Pesach Rishon, in a state of Tuma. Do they have a makeup date? So Rav Huna says no. Rav Ado Bar Avo Omar Yesh Tashlumin LePesach Bo Betuma. So we have a machlokes, Rav Huna and Rav Ado Bar Avo. Now what the Gemara wants to know is what is the basis of their machlokes. Nema b'halkam ivli. Now you'll notice we squiggle on by Nema. This is to draw your attention to the idea that this is a suggestion, and also to enable you to see that the give and take of the Gemara, where here we have the suggestion, it's, as we say, this is a question, it lasts three lines, and at the bottom line, at the beginning of the line, you see another squiggle underline, that will be a response or a rejection of what we're going to suggest in this question. So, name of the Halkum of Lee, shall we say that Rav Huna and Rav Ada are arguing in the following? Demandi Omar ein tashlumin lepesach babatumo. Rav Huna, who says that there is no makeup for a Pesach that was brought in a state of Tumah because the majority were Tumei Mesim. Kosavar, well, Rav Huna is of the opinion, this is our suggestion, that Tumah dechuya he betzibur, that when it comes to the laws of Tumah, Tumah is pushed aside, not that it's suspended completely, but it's pushed aside when it comes to a tzibur matter. And a Korban Pesach is a public type sacrifice. Now, we take a look at Rashi, who adds a very important fine point. Rav Huna Sovar, Tuma Dechuy Betzibur, Ubekoishi Huter Lakrivo, and only with great difficulty do we overlook the Tuma, so to speak, and offer our sacrifice, in this case the Korban Pesach. But since it's Dechuya, since it's only Bekoishi Huter, Hilkach Loi Mashvinon Luhu B'tahurim, we don't make the Tomei Mesim in our mind's eye as if they are Tohor, L'midchi Tameim L'sheni, to push off the Tameim, in this case the Zavim, to a Pesach Sheni. So because we say Tuma Duchui Hibetzibu, we're not going to look at the Tamei Mason that were the majority as if they were Tahorim, which creates a standard situation, and then there would be a makeup date for the Zavim. So Rav Huna says we don't say that because Tuma Dechuya Hibetzibur. Uman Diomar Yesh Tasum in Pesach Babatuma. Rav Ada, who says that the Zavim have a makeup date even though the first Pesach was done by Tameim. Kosavar Tuma Hutra Betzibur. The laws of Tuma, when it comes to a public sacrifice with a fixed date, those laws of Tuma are suspended, and it's as if they don't exist. And therefore, the majority who are Tomei Mesim in our mind's eye are like Tahorim. When you have a Pesach that's brought in a state of Tara on the 14th of Nisan, so of course there's a makeup date for the minority of people that were Tomei, in this case the Zavim. So at this point, just to review succinctly, what's the machlokas? Rav Huna holds would be holding Tumah Dechuya Betzibur, and Rav Ada says there is a makeup date, Tumah Hutra Betzibur. Gemara says Amri Lo. It says a response. Don't say that. Rather, the Kulei Alma Tumah Dechuya Betzibur. Everyone, including Rav Ada, will say that the laws of Tumah are pushed aside, but they're not suspended. It's only with difficulty that we allow the korban to be done in a state of tumah. Ubaha pligi. The following is the basis of their machlokas. Mor savar, this is Rav Huna, will hold tara matchia tumah lo matchia. When the Pesach Rishon is done by tahorim, so that enables the Tameim to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. However, when the Pesach Rishon was done by Tameim, Tumah lo matchia. Tumah does not enable to be those that didn't do it to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Umar Sovar filu Tumah nami matchia. And Rav Ada holds that even Tameim, in this case, Tamei Mesim, do have the power to cause the other kinds of Tameim, the Zavim, to be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But as far as establishing Rav Huna and Rav Ada as Cholkim, as arguing regarding this major topic of Tumah Hutra versus Tumah Dechuya, that is not the analysis. But rather, like we just got finished saying, and now we have a new case, Itmar, another case of a Tzibur that's divided amongst Tameim and Tahorim. However, notice this is an interesting breakdown. Divided into thirds. Itmar hoyu shlishison zavim, shlishison is a third, shlishison tahorim, shlishison tamei mesim. How do we deal with this? You'll notice we have a long point marking lasting till the Mishnah. Omar Rebbe Moni Bar Patish. So Rav Moni Bar Patish answers, oisan tamei mesim, einan oisin, lo ezarishain velo ezasheni. The Tamei Mesim, the third of the people that were Tamei Mes, will not be doing a Korban Pesach that year. But Rishon Lo Avdi, on the 14th of Nisan, the Tamei Mesim will not do the Korban, their Korban Pesach, Higdilu Zavim Al HaTahurim, the Lo Avdi Betuma. We view the Zavim as joining up with the Tahurim to create a situation where you have 66% of the people that are either, they have Zavim and Tahorim. But given that that's the situation, the Lo Avdi Betuma, that is not the basis of allowing a Pesach Rishon to be done in the state of Tumah, because you don't have rove people to make Mason. So it's not a Pesach Avo B'Tumah. Havilei Tumei Mason Miuta. The Tumei Mason in that case that we just described are, because we joined the Tahorim in our mind's eye together with the Zavim, to make it such that it's not a Pesach Avo B'Tumah, what then? How are we classifying the Tumei Mason? The Tumei Mason Miuta. They are a minority. Umiuta lo avdi barishon. We don't have an allowance for a mute of Tumei Mason to do a Pesach Rishon. So they're excluded from Pesach Rishon. Ubezheni lo avdi. Those very Tumei Mason that were defiled to the dead on the 14th of Nisan don't have a makeup time. Why not? Because now, in our mind's eye, nitzerfu zavim in Tumei Mason. We have the Zavim join up with the Tamei Mesim, the Lo Avdi Barishon, that did not do, you have a majority of people that did not do a Pesach Rishon. The Zavim with the Tamei Mesim, they didn't do Pesach Rishon. Havalahu Ruba. So when looking at things, you actually have a rove of people that didn't do a Pesach Rishon. The Ruba Lo Matchu Le Pesach Sheni. And a majority is not pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So the Tamei Mesim lose out on both ends. By the way, you'll notice with our markings, we had squiggled on the word Zavim, because Zavim is the element here that in Pesach Rishon, they're put together with the Torim, and the Zavim, with regard to Pesach Sheni, are put together with the Tamei Mesim. The Mishnah, HaPesach Shenizrak Domoy V'Achakach Noida Shehu Tomei. A Pesach's blood, the Korban's blood, was sprinkled, and then it became known that the meat or the dam had become Tomei. HaTzitz Meratze. The Tzitz is the golden headplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, and it has the Shem Hashem on it. We've mentioned the Tzitz Meratzeh in previous sugyas. So as far as this scenario, the Tzitz creates a situation of literally atonement or ability of the Korban to be accepted. Tzitz Meratzeh makes it such that the Korban is acceptable. However, the Tzitz doesn't work to cover all cases of Tumah. Nitma Haguf, the person, the owner of the Korban, had become Tomei. So let's say it had become known that the owner was Tomei, Tumas Haguf, Ein Hatzitz Meratze. The Tzitz will not enable his Korban to be acceptable, and he will have to do a Pesach Sheni, the makeup Pesach. B'tnei She'omru, it has been said, Hanozir Voise Pesach. A nozir is a person who had accepted upon himself a restriction of vine products, and he's also restricted from exposing himself to Tumas Meis. At the end of his nozir period, he brings sacrifices. That's a nozir, and an oisa pesach is our general topic here. What do we say about these people? Hatzitz meratzeh al tumas adam, ve'ein hatzitz meratzeh al tumas aguf. The tzitz, as we said, covers, atones for, or enables the korban to be accepted. In the case of the animal, the korban's dam having been tomei, but it doesn't cover the case of the owner having been tomei. And if the owner was Tomei at the time the Korbonos were brought, so he'll have to, in the case of a Nozir, he'll have to start his counting all over, and bring, in addition to bringing Korbonos for his having been Tomei. We continue in the Mishnah. Nitmo Tumas Hatahoim Hatzitz Meratzeh. This is a new expression for many of us. Tumas Hatahom. Tahom literally means tuma of the depths. It's a type of tuma that one could not have known about, at the time that he became Tomei. It's, for example, an unknown grave was located in a place that you had been sitting or you had walked over it, but it was under the ground, and at the time that you exposed yourself to Tumah, no one could have known about it. But it became known later on. It became known that there had been Tumah there. So if that is the scenario, that you had been exposed to this kind of Tumah, so your korban will be acceptable because of this Tzitz Meratzeh phenomenon. The Rashi quotes the Tosefta, and you can see more or less across from here in the Rashi commentary, where you see an aleph in the square brackets. Ubetosefta meforsh lahochi ketzad. What is the case? Omrulo kever hoyo imoch bebayis shenichnas daboy, or tachas hoeven sheyashavtalof. Someone says that there was a grave under the house that you had entered. The time he entered, he was totally unaware that there was any grave there, and he went ahead and did his Korban Pesach. Or he was told that under the stone upon which you were sitting, there was a grave. It means under the stone upon which you were sitting, they had discovered subsequently a grave. V'noda lo, and it became known to the individual. Ad shelo asa pischo, if this had become known to him before he did his Korban Pesach, sorach lasas Pesach sheni, he has to make up his Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. He doesn't do Pesach. However, Misha also, if he was informed of the presence of the grave in the house, but he was informed of that after he did his Korban Pesach, Ein Sorach Lasos Pesach Sheni. He doesn't have to do a Pesach Sheni. He fulfilled his obligations with that which he already did. Let us turn back to the Gemara. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we have as our topic heading here, Mosai Amrinon Tzitz Meratzeh, that we already saw was the issue dealt with by the Mishnah. Under what circumstances do we say Tzitz Meratzeh? Now the Gemara. Taima, the reason that the Tzitz is Meratzeh, and we have a little arrow at the side of the Gemara, and this aligns with the arrow facing the Mishnah above. Why is it that the Tzitz Meratzeh, the Nizrak, the Achakach, know that the order of events is important? First, the Korban was processed, and then it became known that there was Tumah, that the blood or the meat had become Tomei. So at the time the Zrika was done, it was done b'shogeg. There was lack of knowledge. Avol noida v'achakach Nizrak, if it had become known that the blood was Tomei, and then they went ahead and did the Zrika Sadam anyway, Loi Meratzeh. So the Tzitz Meratzeh will not cover that case. That's a case of the Zrika being done b'mezid, knowing that the blood was already Tomei. V'rominu. Now we raise a Tanaic source that would seem to contradict that the Mishnah's teaching. Alma Hatzitz Meratzeh. So the source opens up and with the question of what is covered by the tzitz, what is atoned for by the tzitz. Answer: Al hadam v'al abosar v'al chilev shenitma, blood, meat, or the chilev, the innards of sacrifices that had become tomei. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. Now we dash down the line b'mezid. This is the source, the focus of our discussion. Whether they became Tomei b'shogeg or b'mezid, or bein b'oynes, bein b'rotzon, bein b'yochid, bein b'tzibor. The tzitz is meratzeh then, it says the tzitz is meratzeh across the boards. Without getting into the details of this source, it's not necessary for right now. The tzitz is meratzeh, even b'mezid. That means even with knowledge. So that would contradict that which we inferred from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that only when the Tumah became discovered after the Zrika Sadam, after the blood was already sprinkled, then we say we can overlook the Tumah, so to speak, because of Tzitz Meratzeh. But if you had known beforehand that it was Tomei, and then did the Zrika Sadam, you can't rely on the Tzitz. And yet in this source, it says, Bein B'mezid, that Tzitz works even B'mezid. Amar Ravina. And we have a double underline. highlighting the names Ravina and then Rabbi Shilo, and on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh, we have the following. Machlokes Yamrinon Sitzmiratza Filu Shenoda Lo Al Hatuma Lifnei Zrikoso. We'll see a machlokes concerning that situation. Namely, even where you knew about the Tuma before the sprinkling of the blood. Omar Ravina. Tumasai, as far as the initial tumah that was metame the blood, as far as that initial tumah on the regarding the tumah on the blood, there we say bein b'shogeg bein b'meizid hurtza. The source that we just described, where we dash on b'meizid, it says that the if the blood had become tumah b'meizid knowingly, someone was metame the blood knowingly. That doesn't prevent the korban from being acceptable. Zrikaso, and as far as what our Mishnah was talking about, the Mishnah was not talking about the initial tumah that befell the blood. The Mishnah was talking about what knowledge do you have at the time the zrika is done. Zrikaso, b'shogeg hurtza b'meizid lo hurtza. If at the time the blood was being sprinkled, they did not know that the blood was tomei. So then, the tzitz is meratze hurtza. Meratze means from the word meratze. The tzitz is meratze. Ritzui means it's acceptable. However, if at the time of the zrika there was knowledge of the tumah of the blood, lo hurtza, then the korban will not be acceptable. You can't rely on the tzitz to operate. In that case, Rabbi Shilo Omar, Rabbi Shilo says the opposite. He says zrikaso, as far as knowledge at the time of the sprinkling of the blood, bein b'shogeg bein b'meizid hurtza. That means even if you knew that the blood was tomei at the time you sprinkled, the korban will be acceptable. The tzitz will be meratzeh. So where is there room for making a distinction between shogeg and meizid, as was implied by our Mishnah? That refers to the initial tumah. Tumah asoi. The initial tumah of the blood, b'shogeg, hurtza. If the blood became tomei, b'shogeg, then the korban has a chance of being accepted. And as we said, as long as the initial tumah affecting the blood was b'shogeg, then when you do the zrika sadam, even knowing that that's the case, the korban will be accepted. The mezid lo hurtza. However, if the initial tumah that befell the blood was done knowingly, then lo meratze, there won't be acceptance of the korban. The questions are introduced with a triangle, and that they're indicated on the side. Kushyos al Rabbi Shilo. Eloha dekotoni, that which we saw in the Tanaic source. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'meizid. Hachi, so what are you going to say about that? So he will answer, Hachi ko'omar. Nitma b'shogeg. If the initial tumah that befell the blood was b'shogeg, v'zorkoi, bein b'shogeg, bein b'meizid hurtza. Even if the sprinkling of the blood was done with that knowledge that the dam had become tamei b'shogeg, the korban is acceptable. So the expression in the Tanaic source that indicated bein b'shogeg bein b'meizid, that doesn't present a problem for Rav Shila, because he can understand it as the bein b'shogeg bein b'meizid clause is referring to the time of zrika, not a reference to the initial tumah that befell the blood. The hodikotoni dam shinizrak the achar kach noida, that which it says in our Mishnah that if the blood were sprinkled and then there was knowledge, taimo the nizrak the achar kach noida. The reason that tzitzis meratzeh according to our Mishnah is because the zrikas adam was done, and only it was done without knowledge, and then only later on there was knowledge of the events. Aval noda v'achar kach nizrak. If there was foreknowledge before, namely knowledge before the zrika, and then the zrika was done, lo, the tzitz would not be meratzeh. Now, according to Rav Shilo, even if there was knowledge at the time of the zrikas adam, it would be meratzeh. So, is that which is implied from our Mishnah, is it in fact not a kasha on Rav Shilo? Once again, because according to the Mishnah, if it was noda, if there was knowledge of the tumah at the time of the zrikas adam, the korban is not acceptable. Rav Shilo said, who cares if there's knowledge at the time of the zrika? It is acceptable. So Rav Shilo will answer, hu hadin? As far as our Mishnah is concerned, and the ability of the tzitz to meratzeh, ad afilu noida v'achav nizrak, even where there was knowledge, and later on there was rikas adam. The high dikotoni nizrak v'achar kach noda, and that which the Mishnah teaches, that only in a case, or is seemingly indicating that only when the knowledge is after the zrika, is it hurtza, that is only because it's taught that way, only Mishum Deboi Lemisne Seifa, because the Mishnah had an agenda. It wanted to lead up to the case of this, what is taught in the Seifa, Nitmo Haguf Einat Tzitz Meratzeh, where the owner becomes Tomei, the owner of the Korban Pesach had been Tomei, that Tzitz does not cover that, doesn't atone for that. The Afilu Nizrak V'achar Kach Noda, in the case of Tumas Haguf, even if the Zrika was done B'shogeg and they discovered the Tuma later on, lo, the Tzitz is not Meratzeh. Therefore, Kotoni Reisha Nami Nizrak V'achar Kach Noda. Therefore, in the Reisha, to maintain this balance, so to speak, the Reisha also spoke about a case of Nizrak V'achar Kach Noda. Reisha meaning that was regarding the Tumas Hadam. However, just to repeat ourselves, with regard to the Reisha, the order is not specific. When it says Nizra v'achar noda, in the case of Tumas Adam, it could very well have been as well Noda v'achar kach Nizrak. And hence, we preserve Shitas Rabbi Shilo. The Gemara continues, Nitmo Tumas HaTahoim Hatzitz Meratzeh. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side under our No Say heading, where we have written Tumas HaTahom. Ha Dimratz Tzitz, that which the Tzitz enables the Korban to be accepted. Haim Rak Al Habaylim, Oy Meratze Al Hazevach. Namely, Dafilu Im Nitmo HaKoyen HaMakrivoy B'Tumas HaTahom Yiratze. When we speak about Tumas HaTahom being solved by the tzitz, is that only with regard to the owner having been exposed to Tumas HaTahom, or is it a halacha regarding the korban? And the nafkamina in this analysis is, as we said, what would be the din if the kohen who was offering the korban had been exposed to Tumas HaTahom? If you say that Tumas HaTahom is resolved by the tzitz only as far as the owner is concerned, if the Kohen had been Tomei B'Tumas HaTahom, then the Korban will not be acceptable. However, if you say that the tzitz is Matzal Tumas HaTahom vis-a-vis the sacrifice, so then whether it be the owner or the Kohen that had been processing the Korban, the tzitz will enable it to be acceptable. The Gemara. Boi Rami Bar Chama. Kohen Hamaratze B'Korban Oseim. The Kohen Maratze who is processing the sacrifices. Korban Oseim is a reference to the Nozir or the Oisa Pesach. We don't have to emphasize in our shiur too much the case of the Nozir, even though the Mishnah mentioned it, because we're focusing primarily on Hilchas Korban Pesach. So the Kohen who had done the Zrikas Hadam, let's say, of the Korban Pesach, and later on he was informed that he had been in a house earlier that day or earlier that week, he had been in a house under which there was a grave. Chutrulo Tumas Atom, although do we say that the tzitz will enable the korban that he processed to be acceptable or not? Mi Amrinon, there's a we call an Aleph Odilma Bay's structure of presenting this question, the two sides of the question. Mi Amrinon, do we say ki gemiri Tumas Atom bebailim, bekoyin lo gemiri, that the idea of the Tumas Atom being suspended, that is true with regard to the owner, but not true with regard to the Kohen, and hence the Kohen would have ruined the Korban. Oy Dilma Bezivcha Gemiri, or is the suspension of Tumas of the Tumah in the case of Tumas Atom something that we say regarding the sacrifice? Lo Shnaba Kohen, Lo Shnaba, Velo Shnaba Bailim, making no distinction between whether the Kohen had been affected or the owner. The Gemara answers, Toshma. Now you notice, let's say a word or two about structure. On the side of the Gemara we have a Mivneh, a structural note where we have a house form. Toshma, this will be an attempt of by Rava to resolve the question. And there will be an inverted house marking focusing or featuring Rav Yosef, where he rejects this. Now these markings, the house markings, will surface again on Pei Aleph, Omed Aleph, in the lower second half of the page, whereby, again, at that point, the Gemara will try to suggest something in favor of that which Rava was doing, and then a rejection. So now, the question had been raised, the din of Tumas HaTahom, is it a, and the Tzitz Miratzal, Tumas HaTahom, is that a function of the owner, or a function of the sacrifice? Now, in order to understand this Toshma, it will take quite a few lines of the Gemara. That's why we have a long marking here. And it also, in this analysis, Rava's analysis demands a great deal of concentration. A number of factors are introduced until we can get to Rava's conclusion. So Rava says, Oma, Rava Toshma, come and hear the following Detoni Rebbe Chiya. Rebbe Chiya presents a Tanaic source, and it says, Lo Omru Tumas HaTahoim Elo Lemeis Bilvad. This is a rather terse source, but it means that the heter of Tumas HaTahoim, that the tzitz is miratze for Tumas HaTahoim, this applies only to Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis, and we say regarding the Nozir and the Oys of Pesach, that if they had been exposed to Tumas Atom of Meis, then their Korban is acceptable. Now, when you say Lemeis Bilvad, so Meis Lemutemai, by featuring the Meis, the issue of defilement to the dead, to the exclusion of what? In other words, what case is not going to be solved by the tzitz? Lav lemute tumas atahom desheretz. Is it not in fact telling us that if someone had been exposed to a case of sheretz tahom, where something had not been obvious? Tosfos explains the case where someone had stuck his hand into dirt and he had ended up touching a sheretz, but at the time he was unaware of it. So a case of Tumas Tom of Sheretz would not be overlooked or solved by the tzitz. Uvemai askinon. When you say the Tumas Tom of Sheretz is not allowed, is not accepted, the Korban is not accepted, what are we talking about? Who are we talking about? Who became Tomei? Inemo bebailim, if the focus is on the owner of a Korban Pesach that had on the 14th of Nisan. Now bear in mind that Tumas Sheretz is a one-day type Tumah. At the sundown, when nightfall comes, he becomes Tor. So if you're talking about the owner that had been exposed to Tumas HaTom of Sheretz, and we say his Korban is not acceptable, Uvaman, regarding what case of which Korban? E Benazir Mimahanibe, if you were talking about a person who was a nazir, Tuma Sheretz doesn't affect him to begin with. Kiyomus Mesalov Amrachmana, the Torah speaks about a nazir and his nazirus period being cancelled or being reversed by exposure to the dead. Tumas Mace, Tumas Sheretz doesn't affect the nazir to begin with. So I don't need the tzitz to solve a problem that wasn't a problem in the first place. Ela ba'isa pesach. So far, what is the brisa of Rabbi Chiya coming to inform us of? That tumas hatahom of sheretz is with regard to the owner and the 14th of Nisan, where he needs to do a korban pesach. And we are saying that his Korban Pesach, being that he was exposed to Tumas Sheretz, Tumas Atom of Sheretz, his Korban Pesach will not be acceptable. Well, Ha Nicha Lemandar Me'ein Shoichdin V'Zorkin Al Tamei Sheretz. That is true. This will be an acceptable point according to the opinion that says that we don't slaughter and sprinkle the blood for people who are Tomei Sheretz. So we're in effect saying that the tzitz will not help a person exposed to Tumas Tom of Sheretz. But if you hold that someone who is literally or mamish an explicit victim of Tumas Sheretz, and we will nevertheless process his korban for him so he will be able to eat it at night. Hashto tuma yedua hutralo. Mind you, someone who was exposed to actual tumas sheretz, something known tumas sheretz, as opposed to tumas tom, known tumas sheretz, he is allowed to have his korban done for him. Tumas hatahom lo kol shekein, where the owner had been exposed to tumas hatahom, which is an unknown situation of tuma, then all the more so his korban will be acceptable. So, regarding what was it said above that the tumas tom is overlooked in the case of tumas mace because of the tzitz meratze, but not in the case of tumas sheretz. Well, with regard to whom? Elolav b'kuyin. It must be that when we were being memayit tumas sheretz from the tzitz solution, that was with regard to the Kohen, not with regard to the owner of the Korban, but the Kohen. Ushmamina, now, just not to lose sight of the forest for the trees, we said above that we were memaye tumas sheretz. Tumas sheretz won't be assisted, won't be helped. But tumas tahom of mace will be helped. For whom? We're saying it's for the Kohen. Ushmamina hutru loy tumas atahom. So this will be the answer we were looking for. This is what Rava was trying to say. That the heter of tumas hatahom, in the case of tumas mace, is not a halacha that's stated only with regard to the owner, but it's a halacha stated with regard to the divcha, the korban, as we saw in our analysis. The bays of the Odom above, Bezivcha Gemiri, regarding the Korban, it was stated. Omar Rav Yosef. The inverted house indicates a rejection of this attempted conclusion. He says, Loi li'oilim b'baylim u'b'pesach. That which we said, that the Tumas HaTahom will be overlooked. This is talking about the owner and his doing of a korban pesach. Ulim ute, when we said in the source that tzitzis meratze, that's meratze for tumas mace, regarding the bailim and doing of the korban pesach. Ulim ute tumas atom deziva. Not as we said before to memaye tumas sheretz, but to be memaye to exclude the case of tumas atom of ziva. So now, at this point, then, the whole method that Rava used to establish his conclusion that the Tumas Tom of mace is hurtz ayday that sits is a halach in the korban, and that whole conclusion was based on making the diuk. Mace, yes, and not tumas sheretz. So here we're taking a totally new approach. And furthermore, Rav Yosef mentioned that we're talking about the owner, and we're not talking about the Kohen, as Rava tried to say. So this is a new approach to the understanding of Rav Chiya's source, and let's see what Rav Yosef says. Ziva is a situation where there's a blood flow coming from a woman. The term Ziva also applies to a man and his Zav flow. The case of Tumas Tahom with regard to flows, emissions from people, that needs to be explained a bit further. So we take a look at the Rashi. It gives us the background. The Olam Bebailim, Uba'oise Pesach. We're looking at Rashi four lines from the bottom. Talk about the owner, not talk the Kohen anymore, but talk about the owner. And 14th of Nisan, Udekashiloch, Ha'olo Mahanya Be Tumo Achriti. You might ask, other kinds of Tumas don't affect them. Ika Tumas Ziva. There is another case of Tuma that is a factor that could affect them. And we said that there, when Rashi says, you might ask, there are no other forms of Tumah, because all other forms of Tumah are one-day Tumas, where a person is fit at night, and therefore the Korban might be processed for him on the 14th, so that he can eat it at night. However, there is another case of Tumah, that's a seven-day Tumah, and that's the case of Tumas Ziva. Shehi Shivas Yomim. V'ein Sheichtin V'zorkin Olav. And as opposed to what we saw before by the person who was Tomei Sheretz, a person who is experiencing the Ziva Tumah, he's Tomei for 7 days, so there's no slaughtering of the Korban Pesach and sprinkling on his behalf. Vashmin Rabbi Chia, the Tumas HaTahom de Ziva, Rabbi Chia tells us that the case of Tumas HaTahom with regard to Ziva, what does that mean? Kagon Zav B'Shvi'i Shalo. The Zav on the 7th day of his clean days. The Zav, after he experienced the flow, if he experiences two consecutive days of flow, or two flows even on one day, he becomes Tomei for 7 days, during which he shall not see or experience any Ziva emission. Now, on the 7th day, which happens to be, let us say, the 7th day is the 14th of Nisan, Kigon Zav B'Shvi Shalo Desofeku Shemo Yira Hayom. He, there's a doubt, maybe he will see later that day another flow. V'yistur kol ma'ashemona, and that will undo all the counting that he did till that point, the previous 6 days that he was counting in anticipation of achieving tahara, achieving purification. But if he sees later on that 7th day, if he sees a flow, it will undo everything he's done till now. Sofek lo yireh. Now this is the idea of tahom, the issue of doubt. Maybe he will see, maybe not. Varehu ketome sheretz dechazi l'urta. Now, if he doesn't see any additional flow on that 7th day, so at night he will become fit. He then would be no different than the case of the tome sheretz that's fit at night, as we said earlier. That's a 1 day tumah. V'havila tumas hatahom. What we just described, namely the zav on his 7th day. Because of the elements of doubt, he is like Tumas. So Uposla Bey, and his Korban Pesach will not be acceptable. Now, we didn't mention something that figures later also in the Gemara's discussion, but when we speak about the Zav needing 7 days of Tara, it's essentially 6 full days and part of the 7th day. When part of the 7th day goes by and he hasn't experienced the flow, theoretically he is tohor. However, we simply don't know because we have to wait till the end of the day to see if he maintained his tahara till the very end. So in the middle of that day, let's say the 7th day of this Zav happens to be the 14th of Nisan, and the Korban is offered during the daytime hours, well, we don't know whether he will be truly tohor or not. So what Rav Chiya's source is telling us, that his Korban Pesach, the Zav on the Shvi Shelo, lo hutra lo tumasa tahom. The Gemara asks, the tumas tahom de ziva lo meratze? Before we go further, we're going to see a source that doesn't mention the case of the 7 days of Tara of a Zav, but it mentions another case that has the same, we'll say, halachic characteristics of the Zav on his seventh day. And the case that we're about to learn is called the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. This is a reference to a woman that if she sees a day of blood flow during her Ziva days, Ziva days are a period of time that's in contrast to her Nida days. Now, we're not going to get into the whole background for understanding the difference between Nida and Ziva right now, but all we're going to say is what's basic information that's needed for understanding the Gemara at hand. And that is that there's a period of time during the month that a woman, if she experiences a blood flow, she is said to be Temea that day, and the next day she is in a state of suspension, if you will, that she has to observe it as a clean day, of a non-blood flow day. That second day is called Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, where she's guarding the second day as a result of the day before where she had a blood flow. A woman who is Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, so there are halachas of Tumah that apply to her. And amongst the halachas of Tumah are prohibition to be with her husband in intimacy and restriction from sacrificial activity. When we speak about the second day, technically speaking, all that she has to observe in terms of cleanness of non-blood is part of the day. However, the issue comes up, what happens if up till a certain hour in midday she doesn't have a blood flow, but later that day she does experience a blood flow, so retroactively that second day was not a clean day. Now we are about to raise a question on that which Rav Yosef just said. This question will last till the third line from the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. Rav Yosef suggested that Tumas HaTahom of Ziva, namely the case of the Zav on the seventh day, as we already described, his carbon will not be accepted. So the Gemara asks, V'tumas HaTahom de Ziva lo meratze? Is that really so? That his carbon would not be accepted? V'hotanya, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, the woman on her second day that she needs to observe as a clean day, Sheshachtu V'zorku Aleha, B'sheni Shelo, we're at the top of Pei Aleph Mud Aleph, where they had slaughtered and sprinkled the blood for her on her second day. And as we said, that second day is a time of suffix, it's a time of doubt. It reflects the idea of Tumas HaTahom. V'achar kach ro'asa, and then later that day, after they had processed her Korban Pesach, later that day she sees blood. Eino ocheles, she doesn't eat the korban at night because, well, she happens to be tmeya. Upturim lasas pesach sheni, she is exempt from needing to do the makeup pesach. Now, why, my time? Why is she exempt? Lav mishum demeratzitzitz. Is it not because that the tzitz was effective in enabling her korban to be accepted, and that is a kasha on Rav Yosef? The Gemara answers, Amri loy. That's not the truth. Mishum dekosov Rav Yosi, the reason for her korban to be accepted is not because of the tzitz having been meratze. Simply, mikanu lahabo hi metamo. The tuma that she experiences on that day too is not a retroactive tuma. It means that she's tamei only from that point, the point of sighting, onwards. And therefore, at the point that her korban was offered, she was considered totally tahora. not needing any tzitz factor to overrule or supersede the tumah. She wasn't tamei to begin with, as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned. Now we dashed underline this mikan lebo himetamo, because this is going to now be the focus of the Gemara as it continues in analyzing, and here we're going to question the answer that was just given, whereby we deflected Rabbi Yossi from presenting a question on the Amora Rav Yosef. Let us contrast Rabbi Yossi's opinion with that which the Rabbanon will hold, that say she will be Tameo Lemafreya, that if she sees blood later on that second day, she experiences retroactive Tumah, and the Tzitz will not be Meratze in that case. Exactly like Rav Yosef had said, that Ein Hatzitz Meratze al Tumah Ziva, and she will be Chayev a Pesach Sheni. The Gemara asks, are you sure that Rabbi Yossi holds Mikan ul Habo? Now notice we have a long question marking. V'hatanya, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Zav Baal Shteirios, a man who had two emissions, making him Tomei for 7 days, and now we're going to talk about him on his seventh day, Sheshachta V'zorko Lo V'shvi Shelo, whose Korban Pesach was slaughtered on and sprinkled on his behalf on his seventh day, and then later on that day, later in the day, after he, as his Korban Pesach was done, he then saw blood. V'chein shomeres yom keneged yom, sheshachto v'zorku aleo b'sheni shelah. The shomeres yom keneged yom that we discussed at length up already on her second day, and then later that day, after her korban was done, v'achkach rasa hareilu mitamin mishkav u'moshav lemafreya ufturin milasos pesach sheni. What do we see here? We see there is tuma lemafreya. We dashed underline key words here. Mishkav u'moshav means that not only is the person tummy, but even the beds and chairs that she had sat on earlier that day will also be considered tamei retroactively, and yet they're exempt mi uptum lasus pesach sheni. So what does this show you? It shows you that the tzitz meratze on tumas setahom, even of ziva. And who's speaking over here? This is Rabbi Yossi. Hence, we have a kasha on Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef had tried to explain before that the exemption of Pturim Lasus Pesach Sheni was based on Rabbi Yossi holding Tamea Mikanu Labo. Not so. We see here, we see that she's Tamea Limafreya, and yet she's exempt from the Pesach Sheni. And how is that? Because the Pesach she did is considered accepted by virtue of the Tzitz being Meratzeh. The Gemara says, no, that's not the pshat. Amri, my limafreya, the retroactive tumah that's referred to in this source, mi de rabbonon. It's a tumah that's only of a rabbinic nature. But from a doraisa Torah level of understanding, Rabbi Yossi will tell you that her tumah is only mikan ulahabon. At the time she did the Korban Pesach, the Pesach, she was tahora, completely tahor. There's a Rashi at the lower part of the narrow lines, midrabbanan, avu midraisa lo mitamu elo mikanu lahabo, lo hazav v'shvi v'lo shameres yoyim b'sheni. The tuma that the zav on his seventh day experiences later in the day, or the shameres yom on her second day after she observed part of her day in cleanness, the mixas hayom ola lohen l'sfirasan, the part of the day that they observed bitara counts for them, and therefore at the time the korban was done, they were considered tohor completely. Hilkoch legavi pesach tohorin me'al yohavu. Therefore, as far as the need for doing a second korban pesach, no need, because they were, at the time they did their pesach on the 14th of Nisan, they were completely tohor. The fact that we're being a little repetitive now, the fact that the source indicates a retroactive tumah, that is a merely rabbinic stringency. Now, we have a bracketed section that lasts a number of lines. Use your bracket length indicator. And by skipping the brackets, we continue in our focus on Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara asks, Ula Rabbi Yossi, Hashta de Omar mikan ula habo hu metame. Namely, there's no problem of tumas tahom as far as the zava is concerned. But the tuma that they experience on the second day is mikan ula from the time of her sighting onwards. So, Lemes Bilvad, the source that we saw back on Pei Omid Beis, we have an arrow here that spoke about Tumas Atom is atoned for by the Tzitz only in the case of Tumas Meis. Well, Lim Ute Mai, what case of Tumas Atom is not atoned for by the tzitz? Now, as far as Ziva is concerned, as far as Shitas Rabbi Yossi is concerned on Ziva, there isn't any issue of tahom by the Ziva to begin with, because the tuma she experiences later that day is a brand new tuma. There's no issue of retroactive tuma vis-a-vis some kind of doubt and retroactive tuma. There is no retroactive tuma by the Ziva. So what is the case of Lemes Bilvad coming to exclude? So maybe we'll go back to the Sheretz analysis that we saw in the name of Rava at the earlier part of today's shiur, from which we were able to conclude that the heter of Tumas Tahom is a korban-centered heter and not a Bailim-centered heter. Nivshot mina to bekohen hutrolo tumas hatom. That the tumas tom heter of the tumas mace affects the kohen or benefits the kohen as well, like Rava tried to conclude. Since, once again now, just to be a bit repetitive, since we've established that according to Rabbi Yossi, the Tumas Ziva, or the Zava on our Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom, is Mikanu Lahaba, and there's no issue of Tahom in the case of the Ziva, so what case of Tahom was being excluded in the case, in the source on concerning where we said Meis Bilvad? So it must be the case of the Tumas Sheretz, which led us to conclude that we're talking about the Kohen, and then we reflected back to the case of Tumas Meis. The Kohen it benefits from the Tzitz Meratze in the case of Tumas Meis, and would that not then lead us to the conclusion that Rava had reached? Don't forget, Rav Yosef had challenged that, and you can look back at the house markings back on Pei Omid Beis. The Gemara says, Amri response, Li'oilom bebailim ubepesach. Rather, like Rav Yosef said, that source of that indicate the Lo Amru Tumas Hatom El Lameis Bilvad is a reference to the owner and his Korban Pesach. And we're coming to exclude the case of Tumas Sheretz. And the Kosovar and Rabbi Yossi will hold Ein Shochtin Vizorkin Al Tamei Sheretz V'Itzterich Limuti, that we do not slaughter and sprinkle the blood for someone who is Tamei Sheretz, and therefore I need to exclude the case of Tumas Atom of Sheretz to tell me that the Tzitz will not Miratze for that case. And as far as Rav Yosef is concerned, so he can successfully defend his position, namely his rejection of Rava's conclusion that was that Rava tried to reach back on Pei Omid Beis. The Gemara now asks a technical question: Ela l'Rav Yosi, Zava Gemura Hechi Mishkachas Law. A Zava Gemura is a woman who experienced 3 consecutive days of blood, or in other words, on 3 days, one after the other, she had a blood sighting. That makes the woman Tamea for 7 days, and namely during 7 days she has to observe cleanness, no blood flow, and at the conclusion of which, on the 8th day, she then brings sacrifices to enable her to achieve full tahara. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, that a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom becomes Tamea only Mikan Ulahaba, how do you have the idea of 3 consecutive days? Let's go over the case in practical terms. Day 1, she sees blood. On day 2, she observes part of the day, not seeing any blood. According to the analysis we mentioned in the name of Rabbi Yossi, she achieves Tahara by observing part of the day in a state of without any blood flow. If she sees blood later that day, that's a new Tumah period. So it starts that becomes then day 1. So that yesterday, which was her day 1, is purified by observing a little bit of day 2 in a state of cleanness. On that very same day 2, when a new blood flow comes later that day, that's again a day 1. How do you ever get to a situation where I can say she had blood sighting on day 1, day 2, and day 3, where day 2 was not considered clean for day 1, and day 3 wasn't considered clean for day 2? How do you have that? If each time when she reaches her second day, she observed part of the day clean, blood-free, any subsequent sighting starts the clock again. So you don't have a situation of 3 consecutive days. So the Gemara answers, you can have that. You can have a Zava Gemura, a complete Zava that requires 7 days of cleanness and the subsequent bringing of sacrifices. Bishofa'as. Shvas means a continuous flow where there is no clean time. V'i boyesema, kagon shurasa kol shnei bein hashmashas. Another scenario would be that she saw a blood flow during the transition hour between days. So let's illustrate that. On day 1, she sees blood toward the end of the day. And from the time starting with sunset till the appearance of 3 stars, that covers the twilight time. That's called Bein HaShemashos. During that time, she's experiencing a constant flow of blood. So for our purposes, the end of day 1, that's called day 1. And the beginning of day 2, she had no clean time at the beginning of day 2. So day 2 already fell away, so to speak, as a Tomei day. There was no Tahara during that day 2. It started off as a day of Tumah. So then, at the end of that day 2, as sunset was approaching, she experiences another blood flow that lasts again from before sunset to after 3 stars appear. During that hour, we'll say, just for argument's sake, she sees blood. What happens then? So you have day 2 having been already declared a Tomei day, and the very beginning of day 3 as well. So day 3 doesn't count as a clean day for day 2. Day 3 is ruined, so to speak, is defiled already at the very beginning of the day. So by having 2 Bein HaShemashos periods of blood flow, you, in effect, account for 3 consecutive days with having no interim clean day present. Now, we have a bracketed section that we must go back over, and the purpose of these brackets is to show that Rav Hoshaya also understands Rav Yossi as we had explained before, that there's Tumah Lemafreya is Mi Derabonan. The retroactive Tumah of the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom of the woman during her second day after she had a day of blood flow, the second day she keeps part of the day clean, and then later that day she sees blood. We saw a source above where Rabbi Yossi said there's tumo lemafreya. We're going to see that Rabbi Oshaya understands the position, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, like we explained it just before the brackets. So now we're going back to the bracketed section, and we read the Gemara, V'af Rabbi Oshaya Sovar, Metame lamafreya midorabonan, that which Rabbi Yossi says that there's retroactive tumah is only rabbinic. The Omar Rabbi Oshaya, Avozav Shiro Bishvi Shilo. Rabbi Oshaya says that a Zav that had observed 7 clean days, and we're on day 7, and later that day he sees blood, Soser es Shelefonov. He undoes all the previous counting, he has to start all over again. The Omar lay Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan then says something. Now, what Rabbi Yochanan is about to say is not going to be clear until the Gemara clarifies a few lines later. And Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Oshaya, why does he lose all 7 days? Lo yistor elo yomo. Let him just lose that one day. So make up another clean day the next day. The Gemara asks, I don't understand what was just said. Mi monafshal. This is a question on what Rabbi Yochanan just said. By the way, the little aleph that you see by Rabbi Yochanan is that because later we'll have a second presentation of what Rabbi Yochanan is really saying. So here the Gemara asks, mi monafshal. I kosovar lemafreya hu metame. If Rabbi Yochanan holds that there is retroactive tumah, afilu kulu nistar, then he should lose all 7 days. I kosavar mikan ulahabo hu metame. We should have mentioned earlier, but Rashi points this out, that when we speak about 7 clean days, they must be 7 clean, consecutive, uninterrupted days of cleanness. So if on that 7th day, the tumah is said to be retroactive, So the whole 7th day is ruined. He doesn't have 7 complete days. Therefore, he's got to start again. That's kulu nistar. He has to start counting. Nistar literally means to wreck or undo all the previous 6 clean days. I kosavar mikanu labohu metame. And if Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that tumah experienced on the 7th day of the Zav is only from that point onwards, but the previous hours of the 7th day that were clean without any emission are considered tohor, so then yomo nami lo nisar, he shouldn't lose that day either. In other words, he should be considered a zav who had observed his required 7 days, and now he starts a new counting. Rashi on the medium sized lines under the Gemara text, Yom Nami Lo Listor, Elarehu Kariya Rishona Shel Ziva Haris, and then it would be considered like a new first sighting, and the rule of a first sighting of a Zav, the Ainbo Elo Tumas Erev, he's Tame then only till the evening. Vitboler Vitar, he can then immerse himself in the mikvah before sundown, and then be Tor in the evening. The Kaimalon, we hold Ria Rishona Shel Zav, carry the Almohu. The first sighting of a Zav has the status of has the halachic status, it's not physically the same thing, but the halachic status of a semen emission, male nocturnal emission, which is only Tame for till sundown of that day. So what is Rabbi Yochanan trying to say over here? Elo emo, rather say as follows. Lo yistor velo yoimoi. As opposed to what Rav Oshaya had been saying, namely a Zav that sees on his 7th day, he loses his counting, Rabbi Yochanan say he shouldn't lose any counting. Lo yistor v'lo yom, he shouldn't lose anything. The Amalei, and Rabbi Oshaya says to Rabbi Yochanan, by your saying he shouldn't lose anything, Rabbi Yossi koi kavosech. Rabbi Yossi holds like you. In other words, your suggestion is not unfounded. You have a Tanaic basis for saying what you just said. The Gemara asks, well, v'ha Rabbi Yossi omer mitamin mishkav u'moshav l'mafreya. But Rabbi Yossi mentioned that there is retroactive tumah of when he sees later on that day, when the Zav on the 7th day, even though the first hours were tor, when he sees later that day, so the chairs and beds that he had been sitting on are retroactively tumah. So how can Rav Oshaya tell Rabbi Yochanan that you have a basis in your suggestion, the opinion of Rav Yossi, that would say that there is no loss of Tahara days? But doesn't Rav Yossi say there is retroactive Tumah? El Olav Shema Minos. So we must therefore conclude Metame Lemafreya Midrabbonon, that which Rav Oshaya said to Rav Yochanan, that there is retroactive Tumah, that which Rav Yossi has said in his source, that there's retroactive Tumah, in light of the fact that Rav Oshaya said to Rav Yochanan, you have a basis in Rav Yossi, it must be that Rav Yossi's comment in the source was a retroactive Tumah only on a rabbinic level. And Shmamina, so this is conclusive. We've shown here in the bracketed section that Rav Oshaya agrees with the analysis we gave before, that the Tumah Lemafreya cited Rav Yossi was only Midrabbonan. But Midoraisa, Rav Yossi will tell you the Tumah of the Zav B'Shvishalo or the Shemar Yom Kineged Yom on her second day is a Tumah that's only Mikan Ulahaba. And that information, just to tie it back to the bigger picture, that information was important for Rav Yosef in his deflecting Rava's conclusion in the question of the tzitz meratzeh, is it a din in the bailim or is it a din in the korban? So Rav Yosef that question would not be resolved by that which Rava was trying to prove from the Rav Chiya source. Now, we said this is a very, very involved sugya, and it's a kind of Gemara that the first learn through is very difficult, and if one wants to really get a handle on it, review is absolutely necessary. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.